Hello, all. Welcome back to the podcast. It's been about a month since we were here together, but we're here together again. And you're going to hear from us more and more often as we have a lot of content lined up for the remaining 2021 year. But anyway, I'll start by saying again, I'm Frank Montoya, IT manager, product owner of the Salesforce Enterprise Implementation at Arizona State University. I've been working lately on the Salesforce footprint and the strategy at ASU for Salesforce. Again, supporting all the innovation that everyone likes to have so we can leverage that innovation with our constituents, our users, and really leverage that innovation to grow and not only grow the university, but really more importantly, grow the individuals that are related, have a relationship with ASU. So that's me and a little bit about what's been going on lately with me at ASU. I'm going to ask Haley Gould, my co-pilot, my co-host, my partner, to introduce herself and start this discussion.
Sounds good. It's so good to hear your voice, Frank. I love it. hi, everybody. I'm Haley Gould. I'm Frank's partner in crime and co-host of the podcast. I'm over at Smith College, so I'm the director of CRM and engagement services. Here, as I round my first year here at Smith, we're really focusing on the enterprise roadmap for all things CRM. We just did a large Pardot implementation, and I've built my team up from 2 people to 4. So, oh man, is there a lot going on over here. And outside of that, spring is coming, or it's here or something. It's beautiful outside, and I've got a lot of hope for the year ahead as we continue. Speaking of that past year, though, Frank, we haven't talked about your daughters in a while, who are, I think they're freshmen at U of A and ASU, right? Respectively, you've got one of each.
One of each. House divided is what they call it here in Arizona, here at the state of Arizona. But yes, they're wrapping up their freshman year, and albeit virtual the whole year, they've had a good year. Things are starting to wrap up. They're starting to get a little bit back on track, it feels like. They got into the cadence of being online, and they've been successful with it, not without any challenges, but that's the way it is. So yeah, I'm looking forward to, I think I'm looking forward to them all coming home for the summer and kind of invading my household again. So working from home might take a little different look and feel for me once they're back here in the next month or so. But yeah, how about you?
What's going on over there? A lot of broadband usage you'll have at your house, right?
Absolutely. And you know what? It does make a difference because we've all been here at one point in time together, and there is definitely a difference, but we've gotten through that challenge. So what's going on over there?
So just working through it. I've got a dog who's got a bad back, so he's been hanging out as my little sidekick every day, my little office mate, which has been nice. And then my husband's been coaching, so they're actually having like real track meets right now, including today. He'll be coming back from one as we're recording the episode. So all great things, all signs of spring and excitement and things moving forward. And speaking of excitement, really excited for this conversation we're going to have today. So I'm going to dig into our disclaimer. We're going to stop talking about us and start talking about Maryville University. I want to make sure we start out with our opening statement here on the podcast, where we say that all questions and opinions shared are our own, as are the opinions and answers shared by our guests. This podcast has grown out of efforts by the Higher Education Advisory Council, where we aim to provide context and experiences to help you on your journey with Salesforce. Please make all purchasing decisions with the products and features that currently exist today and with the help of your account and success representatives from salesforce.org. I'm going to kick it over to Frank, who's going to introduce our special guest today. Here you go, Frank.
All right. Thanks, Haley. And thanks for that mouthful. I know that's a tough one to spit out, but do a great job at that. Well, we're here to talk with Fong Ho, who is the Chief Digital Transformation Evangelist at Maryville University in St. Louis. Very excited to have him. He's had lots of experiences around many institutions, but today we're going to focus on his use case at Maryville, his role at Maryville, and excited to hear about what they're doing over there, specifically with the blockchain technology. So that's what we're going to hear about today. So With that said, I'm going to turn it over to Fong so that he can give a little bit more background about himself, about Maryville and his use case, and then we can get into our discussions. Welcome.
Hi, how are you, Frank and Haley? Thank you very much for having me. And it's really exciting to be here to talk with you guys about the Maryville and about the use cases that we are building here. And speaking of Maryville University, we are actually a metropolitan university in St. Louis area. We are exactly in a small town called a country and town. And Maryville has about 11,000 student enrollment, and it's about a half and half, around 5,000 undergraduate students and 5,000 graduate students. As a matter of fact, we are the second fastest growing private university in the nation. And also Maryville's eSports for the past two consecutive years has won the national championship. And that's really exciting. And we are kind of like, the University of Alabama, immense college football team, and as well as UVA and men's basketball game. So really exciting. And guess what? We are also the nation's first blockchain university, as what we claim it, right? So as for my background, as you kind of allude to, that I've been around for a little bit, and then I've been a college CIO for over 20 years and working at the different schools. And prior to joining Maryville University, and I actually served as the CIO at Central New Mexico Community College in Albuquerque, New Mexico, when CNM really started to implement its Salesforce CRM solution. And as a matter of fact, that I just learned today, one of my former colleagues and is going to present at the Salesforce Education webinar about how to scale student advising across multiple campuses. And that's kind of interesting as well. But back to Maryville University, and Maryville University has a very kind of a digital transformation driven president, right, Dr. Lombardi. And he has set a vision to transform Maryville to build a truly student service centered lifelong learning institution. And he wants Maryville to be also the first blockchain university to help really making exciting experiences for our students, to make the university operations truly efficient, as well as try to help cutting down the cost. So with that being said, of course, I'm excited to be here, and I'd love to share a little bit more as we go on with this podcast. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, thank you for joining us. I'm like marveling at all of the experience that you have, and this is going to be such a really great conversation. So you said you spent some time now at Maryville. Can you tell us a little bit about the enterprise Salesforce ecosystem there, what that sort of looks like? So usually we ask about orgs and functions and use cases, but you tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, we are very much involved with the whole Salesforce different ecosystems, and then primarily in the student enrollment area that we leverage Salesforce really to get students, and of course, even during the pandemic, COVID-19 pandemic last year, that Maryville's student enrollment actually has grown over 10%, about 11%. And, thanks to the digital technology, including Salesforce, obviously. And we are also leveraging a number of digital solutions that in collaboration with the Salesforce and the Salesforce company as well. Say, for example, that last year we have successfully implemented a three major digital, what we call it, the lighthouse projects, right? That's the kind of a strategic priorities. And the first one, we call it as the digital employee or digital assistant to student. And that is involving the AI, machine learning, Salesforce altogether to create all those kind of like a knowledge articles, how to help students to personalize the assistance for them and to help them succeed academically as well as throughout their journey at Merivale. And the second digital priority project, the Lighthouse Project, is what we call it as the student ID, and we managed to create a contactless learning environment. That we started a project even prior to the COVID-19 pandemic. So during that, and then we were able to provide that kind of contactless environment for our students to help prevent any kind of a further spread of this disease. And the third one is obviously the blockchain university. So back to each of the project, then of course we rely on the Salesforce CRM and the data, and we integrate it with the system and then try to draw those kind of a data to help us guide the decision-making process.
Wow, that's a fantastic set of goals and initiatives that you guys are have been tackling. Very exciting and very important, right? That it's all student-centric and service-centric. So that's fantastic. I want to hone in now. You talked about that third initiative, and I think you said that was blockchain, and you also said that you are the first blockchain university. So let's talk about that use case now, and let's dig into that and have you share a little bit about what's going on there, and we'll explore it through Q&A for our listeners.
Absolutely. I always like to start explaining, obviously, blockchain, even though it has been around over a decade, but to many people, it's a still new concept. What a blockchain really is you can equate blockchain as a gigantic kind of a spreadsheet or a database that is running on a peer-to-peer network. That's kind of a technical term, but what we are really talking about a blockchain is just a technology that can create a kind of an immutable and tamper-proof track records and on the blockchain. So everything that we do or every transaction that is occurring on the blockchain network will be recorded, quote unquote. So it is extremely difficult to change or erase. So we call it a blockchain as a kind of a distributed ledger technology, DLT. And because the data that's stored on the blockchain is being encrypted and connected only through what is called a hashed secured hash links, right? So it is different from any kind of a centralized solution. Normally, when you have a central server or a database, once that the system gets breached or hacked in, and then the hackers will be able to get that kind of a document in or data in its entirety. But on blockchain, and let me give you an example. If a record is about the phone call and the chief digital transformation evangelist at the Merivale, let's just say this whole sentence as a piece of information. But on the blockchain, number one, this whole sentence is encrypted, and you have to find the key to decrypt it to be able to read, number one. Number two, you have to connect to that particular data through a hashed link, and that's normally secure and the users keep for themselves and only share with the designated the person or parties that she or he wants to share. And thirdly, that in the event if a participating computer, for whatever the reason, gets hacked and the people get that the piece of data, they may get something like this, like a one-word chief, but without any context of what that the chief really means. So it's hard for any kind of hackers to get you know, into the system, hack into the system, and steal or alter the information. Because of that, blockchain has been proven to be extremely valuable and helpful for students to, number one, to use the technology to verify their learnings. To give you one example that many students right now, today, as we speak, they get their either digital degree diplomas in the form of other digital formats, and such as PDF or and a transcript, right? And those formats and can be. I'm not obviously. I'm not here to critiquing the security features of any other digital formats, but I'm just suggesting that other formats that can be changed. And I had a lengthy conversation even today with one of the universities because they are finding so much challenges with the PDF format degree diplomas. So with the blockchain, and then they can have that kind of verifiable credentials, not only securely stored, but it's put in their hands. So then they can share it with their future prospective employers or more advanced learning when they apply for schools readily at their fingertips. And then the recipients, in this case, either the future employers or other colleges, can verify those learning credentials with just simply a click of a mouse button, right? It's free, it's fast, it's secure. So that is why blockchain has such a value. And beyond, of course, just the learning credentials, blockchain, and since it's the second generation of the blockchain, which is generally considered as the Ethereum, and the first generation being the Bitcoin, right? So the second generation with the Ethereum, adding the feature of what is called a smart contract. And a smart contract is just basically a self-executing code, a piece of program, but because it is on the blockchain, that piece of code is also immutable and cannot be altered or changed. So it will run consistently and reliably, but what it does is to help automate many student services. Say, for example, at Maryvale University, and when we first started this university, blockchain university kind of a journey, that we set the first phase is to convert all of the student academic credentials on blockchain. So today, Maryvale students, on the one hand, they will receive still a paper-based degree diploma, but at the same time, they will also receive a digital one that is secure and verifiable that they can use to apply for jobs or more advanced studies. So beyond that, and then we have really implemented the smart contract solutions that are helping automating the student services. For example, a student payment plans, right? The leave of absence, a study abroad, and the auditing classes, and so on and so forth. There are just so many student services today that are being automated that really turned used to be a tedious manual process that may take weeks, if not longer, literally down to just a few minutes with like emails exchange and then click of a few mouse buttons and done. So it has really a very significant power to help universities and create a really dramatic student experience, such as, for example, today at Maryvale, when a student requests a transcript, and it takes less than 10 seconds for the students to get their verifiable transcript. Instead of you know, a student normally would have to wait for about 45 minutes to an hour to get that transcript. And in the digital age, and the students really want things instantaneously, so they really don't want to wait. So blockchain can help create that kind of a dramatic student experience. On top of that, blockchain can help really improve the operation efficiency. And as I mentioned, that help automate the business processes, and particularly the rule-based business processes. At Maryvale University, as I mentioned, that we have a very digitally savvy and digital transformation driven president. And Dr. Lombardi has said that he wants the university's rule-based business processes 50% or more to be automated. That is a very lofty goal. And then we are leveraging blockchain technology to do that. And besides all this, and the blockchain can also help save money, really cut down the cost. And of course, it saves time, but it also actually saves real money. And that can help, you know, say, for example, at Maryvale, that we have announced that within the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to cut down the student tuition by 20%. And then part of that will come in from the savings that a blockchain technology will help to generate.
Wow, that is amazing. And I'm going to try to summarize what I think I heard you say, and then you can correct me if I'm wrong. But what I got out of this, the key points have been verifiable efficiencies from an operational standpoint, cost savings.
Absolutely.
Definitely addresses student service, which in my opinion, turns into student retention. And more importantly, I kept hearing security and secure and encrypted. So that reminds me of what I've heard, you know, as a trusted network. So the blockchain is part of a trusted network. So
absolutely.
Wow. I learned a lot, quite a bit. So very exciting.
Me too, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I really appreciated your summarizing this. As a matter of fact, that you know, Salesforce and ASU are building this kind of a trusted learners records and a trusted learners network on blockchain, and that's a similar kind of a use cases that we are building. So there's a really great potential for blockchain technology, and I just want to. Kind of quickly mention that I mentioned earlier that I've been around a little bit, and I actually have been a leading advocate for blockchain adoption in education, right? So I've been urging the education leaders to do two accelerations. The first one is to accelerate their learning and understanding of the impact, of the significant impact of blockchain on education. And the second acceleration is that I've been asked to really accelerate the understanding of the collaboration, because blockchain really help pushing for this collaboration among the education partners. And you know, we're not used to such terms such as like a supply chain, and such as you know, the whole ecosystem, right? And with blockchain, then we need to start consider not only the educational partners, but the employers, the governments, the accreditation agencies, the local communities, of course, the students and the educational institutions and the faculty members, the staff and administrators. We are all the stakeholders of this community, and that the blockchain will help to bring us together.
I mean, talk about sort of flipping this, the model that we currently have, right? Like, I think this is just a totally different viewpoint than many people have had for education and credentialing, and I mean, all of the use cases you just mentioned. Like, I was thinking about my time at like Michigan and just doing transfer course evaluations and things like that. And man, would this have been so much easier if we had sort of the shared understanding and even just knowledge base, you know, between different schools. Like, yeah, that would be great. Where do you sort of see the next step for Maryvale? Like what's on the roadmap for you guys? But like, what's sort of the next step for you guys with blockchain?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question. We did build a roadmap with three different phases, as I mentioned. And phase one is to move all academic credentials on blockchain, and then including even adding the student's self-asserted learning artifacts. Say, for example, today, employers are demanding our students to show our soft skills and power skills, which oftentimes are not necessarily the things that they can easily prove, right? For example, empathy, communication, or even the endurance for leadership, right? But now if you have a video clip to show somebody, who has run a Boston Marathon, right? Running across the finish line with that video clip on it, verifiable, and the seeing is believing. So you can show to the recipient instead of just a piece of paper certified to say, I have run the Boston Marathon. So that is a part of the phase one. And phase two is to develop smart contracts to help automate, as I mentioned at Maryvale, 50% or more rule-based business processes, right? To help significantly improve our student services. And Maryvale University President Mark Lombardi has famously said that our job is to make our student challenge inside of the classrooms, but make their life as easy as possible outside of the classrooms, right? So leveraging blockchain smart contract is trying to achieve that goal as well by automating as much of the services as they can, because today our students really demand that kind of a 24/7 on-demand service. And they don't want go to an office and, if they can just get it online. And phase three is what we call it as tokenizing education. And the many organizations, including ASU, Frank, you certainly know this, has started what they call it as the master track or bachelor degree track certification programs, because the world has moved more and more towards skills-based, certificate-based trainings, right? But then how can we organize by offering students those certificates, skills-based training, so they can get the jobs, after they complete that training, but at the same time, build that kind of a curriculum to connect them to the finish line. So blockchain can help by tokenizing each of the learning unit and create that kind of a smart pathways for the students. It's kind of like a roadmap for students to finish. And then of course, also in collaboration with the AI technology, machine learning, and the learning analytics, and to build that kind of a predictive analytics and the prescriptive analytics to help students find which ones are the closest, shortest to their goal. And so that is the next phase that we are getting ready to start. So that is really exciting for us right now.
Yes, that is really exciting in general. I was just thinking of, I've been hearing the term of like a non-academic transcript, or there was a different term for it, but I think that's what one of the phases that you were sort of describing, and the part where you said about attaching like a video. I was just thinking of like, man, is there a way to have, somebody's like senior project attached, right? Even these like really tangible educational experiences we've never thought about attaching in that way.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, not only that, even the executable code, right? And say, for example, if somebody develops some kind of a computer program, and then when she or he is going to apply for a job, instead of just to say a piece of paper, or I've learned Python, or I've learned some of that, just show them this code, and the they've built it. Communication skills, right? And we have a student who actually helped organize an event to promote multicultural, right? The diversity, and then how that student was leading that event, and that shows. So you don't have to put in words to describe what you have done. Just watch the video clips, you know.
No, I'd say that's just a totally different way of thinking about representing the work and the learning and whatever you've done. It is like a former teacher. I'm like, oh, this is great. They're like showing all of their work and their portfolios. But you know, I have like three portfolios I had to make for classes that are like sitting on that bookshelf back there, right? That like nobody's going to see because they're not digitized and organized that way. So
actually, you even know they're in the bookshelf. And if you ask most of people, when did you get your last professional certificate, and where is it, and they probably couldn't even remember, right?
Yeah.
So we ended up just that the piece of paper now has turned that into, because we know that today there was a kind of like a fancy expression to say, the credentials actually is the digital currency. And if we don't have a way to store, to share, to manage, and to verify those credentials, that means we are just throwing out those digital currencies away.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is.
So I'm hearing about blockchain. I'm hearing about adding these different things in. Can you explain where this might connect to like an NFT?
Absolutely. And we all know NFT stands for non-fungible token. And what really it stands for or represents, it's anything that is unique, right? For example, in the artistic world, and when people create any kind of online drawing, painting, or messaging. And recently we learned the first tweet on Twitter was sold for what is over $2.5 million as an NFT, a non-fungible token.
Yeah, and you know, at ASU, we talk a lot about the lifelong learner. And I think you've mentioned that in our discussion here. So it's exciting to bring those credentials, those skill sets, those attributes of a lifelong learner and make them available, right, for your success and success of whatever organization you're trying to build a relationship with. So very cool, very exciting. I loved hearing about this, and I think this is going to make a lot of sense to our audience, right? Because, you know, you're right, blockchain has been around for 10 years, but the concept is fairly new to a lot of folks. So thank you for sharing that. And I will, you know, before we move on and kind of do a wrap up and ask any additional questions, I wanted to kind of see if you had any last thoughts you wanted to share as the chief digital transformation evangelist about, you know, this technology, or evangelize anything else about that.
Once again, thanks, Frank and Haley, for this wonderful opportunity. And I certainly have enjoyed it. And as exciting as the blockchain technology is, I do want to suggest that, focus on the student services, focus on the needs that can drive business values. It's the institution's priority, their strategic priority that drives the technology or the adoption of technology, not the other way around, right? And number one, and number two, that I highly, highly recommend that anyone who is interested in adopting blockchain technology to consider partnering. Marivel has partnered with a blockchain platform service developer, Pisces.io, so to quickly develop all these solutions. And higher education, I understand that we have a lot of internal resources and a lot of times that we just try to build our own, but there are already solutions out there readily to be deployed. So I would highly recommend to consider doing that. And of course, always consider what is the institution's strategic goals, right? That is either is creating a really outstanding student services or to help drive student enrollment and or to make our university service more efficient or try to save cost, whatever that may be. These are really the true goals as we are building a blockchain solution. And yesterday I gave a virtual presentation at another conference, and I shared with the audience that truly that we need to consider that blockchain as one of the unique technologies that can actually do all these three things at the same time. That is to creating amazing student experience and improve operational efficiency and help save costs. So if anything, that can help us achieve those goals, and that'll be really wonderful.
Well, thank you for those words of advice and recommendations and things to consider as we continue as a higher ed community, right, to serve our constituents.
Yeah, a lot of really good next steps for folks who are curious about this and where do I start? And I liked your idea of partnering. You don't have to like reinvent the wheel, right? That's great. So we're going to end with one question. I don't know that you have a ton of free time because you're just busy doing all these things, but like what's sort of something that's been keeping you sane and during the pandemic that you've been able to do, a sort of a tip for other people if they need some sort of an activity to keep them sane, what would you recommend?
Yeah, actually, that's a very good question, by the way. Of course, we have all changed to move from home. However, for me personally, this has turned out to be one of the busiest time and one of the most productive time for me because we have this kind of roadmap built into this strategic initiative to create a blockchain university and to identify each of the tasks and working with the student services, working with the academic areas to create all those smart contract solutions. That has been really exciting, but at the same time, also keeping me kind of away from worrying about those kind of coronavirus disease and pandemic. This has been a very challenging time, but for me personally, this is something that keeps me going. And of course, we now have the opportunity to share that, and the initiative that we have embarked on. But I appreciate the question.
Oh, great. Well, you can tell that you're really passionate about work. So I'm sure you loved being busy and productive and all of that stuff. It just kind of radiates through you when you talk about this. So it's one, it's been really wonderful chatting with you, but two, I love seeing people who are really passionate about what they're working on. I think that's really great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So if our listeners want to reach out to you and they have questions, how would you prefer they get in contact with you? Would that be Power of Us Hub or Twitter? What would you prefer?
Yeah, any social media, and just my name, Feng Hou, FENGHOU. That would be both my handle at the Twitter and from LinkedIn if they wanted. Also, they can reach me, obviously, from my Marivel's email address. That's FHOU@marivel.edu.
Awesome. Well, get ready for lots of new friends, because I think you're going to be making quite a few from this episode. but yes, thank you so much for your time today. I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun. It's always good to see Frank over there thriving in Arizona. Hey, Frank. For those listeners out there, if you haven't already, please subscribe. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, our website. If you have any questions or if you'd like to be featured on an upcoming episode, please reach out to us. You can send me an email. It's Haley@thepodcast.com. And I think that ends our episode for today. So thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, everybody.